mundo. Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Die Gestalt im Podcast. My name is Martin Groschwald, and this week's episode is a little bit different than the usual one because we have to make a little bit of an announcement. And we are now not only represented on your general kind of pod role, which is iTunes or Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Deezer, all these kind of things, but we've now partnered up with a new design website called Design Field Trips. So we're going to be representing the audio content on there. And the founder of Design Field Trip is a lovely person called Christopher Butz, a German guy. And when Christopher asked me if we wanted to be part of his project, I was extremely excited because I very much was in line with the ideas that he had. I was very happy to support something that was a very high journalistic and critique quality, if you want to say so, for everything that is within car design. So we decided to do a quick podcast together to let you know a little bit more about Design Field Trip, because hey, that's what we do nowadays, but also to give you a little bit of an understanding what the idea behind it is, and of course also the quality behind everything and what he wants to achieve. And there's obviously some very high quality authors on there already alongside Christopher, and that makes it a very proud moment for me and the entire team, the colleagues that are editing the podcast and stuff like that, to be represented on such a high quality line and alongside these guys. So a little bit of our own advertisement in that kind of sense, but I'm pretty sure you enjoyed the conversation with Christopher. He's a very smart cookie, very sharp in his analysis as well, so I'm pretty sure you can all learn and learn a little bit from him and how he discusses and how he argues and stuff like that without insulting anybody, of course. He's very accurate, and I think you're gonna enjoy this. So that's me talking. Enjoy the conversation, and please have a look at Design Field Trip at design-fieldtrip.com and enjoy the content that he's bringing out. Christopher, welcome to Die Gestalten Podcast, which of course is now represented also on your latest project, Design Field Trip. So we thought we'd take this opportunity and do an episode together a little bit and talk not just only about Design Field Trip. Of course, is a little bit of something we want to present to the people as well, but we also want to talk a little bit about journalism and car design journalism in detail, and what makes this difficult, what's kind of the direction those things are moving right now. So thanks for joining me on this morning, and how are things for you? How is Hamburg?
Thanks for having me, Martin. Hamburg is, surprisingly, I wouldn't quite say sunny, but not as overcast as usual, which is nice for a change. So I think circumstances are basically ideal for an invigorating chat.
Good. So then let's jump actually right into it. So some people might have seen that already. You have started a new project, an online, let's call it an online magazine, because I think in terms of the quality of the articles and the visuals that you would like to represent, it's more like a magazine than just a bunch of articles in that sense. But Design Field Trip was something you contacted me about a few months ago, and I was obviously very happy to have Gestalten represented on the website as well, because I think you're going into a very interesting and a very much needed direction. But tell me, with all this pandemic going on right now, what makes somebody start thinking about, I'll do an online magazine and specializing on mobility design in this dire time that we have at the moment?
Well, first of all, the automobile won't go away. Despite all the doom mongering, I think the automobile is here to stay. The question is in what shape and form. There'll be plenty to report on in the coming years and even decades, I'm certain. Secondly, I think judging by the feedback I receive from people inside the industry, there is a need for proper reporting and proper debate on automotive design issues. I need to go back in time a little. When I started to autodidact my own car design blog, I didn't really expect the industry to pay much attention to it. But in fact, that's what it did. And that surprised me to quite some extent. And that has proven to me over the past couple of years that members of the industry are interested in debate, or at least certain members of the industry. They don't want just to remain inside their echo chamber of commercial and corporate decision making. They want, or they appreciate, a forum where different opinions and different perspectives and so on and so forth can be exchanged. And thirdly, I think the let's say car interested public, or the learned car interested public, has very little idea of how automotive design actually works, both in terms of how the design itself works or doesn't work. So what constitutes good design, what constitutes not such good design, and also how the industry's processes work. And yeah, taking all these three points into account, I thought, okay, there is enough space for something bigger than autodidact and just my own musings. And that was the germ of the idea for a design field trip.
And obviously, you know, you mentioned a little bit of this, let's call it the state of car design, mobility design, journalism right now as well. And we've had so many discussions about this, of course, not just over the last few weeks and months, but, you know, pretty much since we've both known each other. So there is this kind of feeling that there's so much PR speaking out there right now, so that a lot of articles are maybe rewritten in, you know, from PR statements, and, you know, are added with some kind of, you know, just, you know, a few extra details. But when you started to do something like Design Field Trip, and you look into the state of what the journalism side, yeah, not the, let's say, not just the commentary side in that kind of sense, because that's something completely different, but the actual journalism when it comes to critiquing car design, mobility design as a whole, where do you think it stands right now? Is it actually as existent, or is it just, you know, vanished a little bit because of all this Instagram influencer structure where we see everything is positive? Because obviously we see that the people themselves, interestingly, with examples such as, you know, the BMW Big Kidneys is probably the most prominent one right now, but there's dozens others, are also using that to show their their anger with certain kind of decisions. So it seems that there's a lot of opinion, but there's not really that much, from what I can see, about a professional kind of debate about it.
Indeed, yes, and this is also something I'd like to address. There is plenty of opinion and plenty of emotion even, but not much in the way of debate. I mean, saying I hate something versus, oh, I love this, that's not a debate. And I want, if you'd like, I'd like to put on the brakes in terms of internet speed and say, okay, let's take a moment to pause. Let's take a moment to properly read an article rather than just the caption to an Instagram post or something like that. And let's not just vent anger, but try and discuss what really is the issue here. And I mean, I can get angry myself, and I can get emotional myself too, but it's not something I relish, because it usually isn't terribly productive. And I'd like Design Field Trip to be productive and to start debate and to allow people to express themselves, not in emotional means, as I said, but as I said, act as a forum for different opinions. They needn't be my opinions all the time, but express them in a clear, in a profound way, and see how the industry and how certain people react to it.
You've went down a very interesting way. Of course, you, and I think we can say this already in the podcast, but there's obviously, you know, you who's coming very much from the writing perspective, from the journalism perspective. You have asked people such as Stephen Bailey, who I think is a very prominent writing figure as well when it comes to the automobile world in that sense as well. So you have, let's say, the very traditional journalism side, but you've also gone down the road of, you know, including people such as Patrick Le Cremant for commentary, for, you know, their opinion about car design, who actually come from the industry. So let's call them the experts in that kind of sense. Where did this idea come from? Because, you know, it seems that oftentimes it's either the journalism or the experts. I just want to remember, you know, things such as the Angry Car Designer blog from Sasha Selipanov, which was the car designer, obviously anonymously, and then it came out who it was. But is this also about bringing those worlds together to kind of show that only together they can make this statement for what design is nowadays, and that it's not just styling?
Oh, absolutely, and this is something very dear to my heart. I'm the as I said, the current debate mostly consists of different non-interconnected echo chambers. There is the industry who tells people that legislation and market demands and so on and so forth they make us come up with poor designs. Once they're being challenged. On the other hand, there is the public opinion that says, for example, oh, why don't BMW just keep on producing cars like BMW 02, and so on and so forth. And this leads absolutely nowhere. For that reason, I hope Design Field Trip will remain as open a forum with as wide a scope as possible. Because I'm not a big fan of limitations. I do appreciate classicism, so I'm not an advocate of change for change's sake. But everything can and should be discussed. Absolutely everything. And for that reason, this isn't supposed to be a place just for writers, just for Europeans, just for men, but a place for everybody who's willing to invest time and thought into discussing automotive design and mobility design.
Well, and I think you're making a point here in let's say the openness of the website as well. I mean, like, you know, there's obviously a comment function on each article to kind of push for that debate to happen. And of course, and I think this is something we need to explain a little bit, because it's something that doesn't necessarily happen. It's a completely free website to use. So all the content that you have put on there is accessible. And, you know, the system behind it is that, you know, the community can, you know, donate, or they can go on Patreon and, pay from their own perspective a certain amount per month to keep this up and running, because you mentioned you want to keep this ad-free so that you can be as free as possible in the writing and not have any kind of implications. And I think, you know, this is something that is very much on point, but it also helps to keep this kind of debate, because then, you know, what I always see nowadays is there's a certain kind of, you know, proximity, of course, of, you know, how a lot of other pages and, you know, big magazines are working nowadays. But I think this kind of neutrality and really being capable of not looking back too much in the sense of, you know, what do you want to write, how do you have to write it, is very important, because that's what starts the debate. And I think you put it down onto the point very well with your article in the BMW iX, to be fair. You know, everybody's talking about the exterior, but a lot of people just, you know, miss out on how interesting ideas are for the interior. And it's also supposed to be a representation of what design can do, you know, and criticizing something is very simple, but also bringing forward the good ideas is something that a lot of people, you know, forget nowadays, I think. And also in mainstream journalism and media, because, you know, the negative news just sell better, unfortunately.
Absolutely. I mean, taking the IX as an example, most of the comments are overwhelmingly negative, of course. But of course, there are also some comments or some articles that are not as critical as one would deem appropriate, certainly as far as the exterior is concerned. But there is very little attempt at scratching beneath the surface there. And that is something I intend to achieve with Designed Field Trip. Just, as I said, stay a little longer, take more thorough a look at whatever's being discussed, to form not just an instinctive opinion, but a learned opinion. Because opinions are good. I mean, we all are made of opinions, but the question is, what is the basis of these opinions? And Design Field Trip should ideally support proper opinion making and hence proper decision making. And in that context, staying with the BMW for a moment there, if theoretically Adrian van Hooydonk or Domagoj Ducic decided to say, okay, well, I would like to explain myself, I would like to explain why everybody gets the exterior wrong in writing, then I'd be very happy to host that, provided, of course, he actually writes it himself rather than some press secretary, which should be pretty easy to decipher. So, as I said, I'm pushing myself to remain open in every direction, and at the same time, I do my utmost to provide nuance and to provide a certain depth. And this chimes in with what you said about my article on the iX, which focused much more on the interior of that car rather than the exterior, because I didn't feel I could add anything to what's been said about the exterior already. I'm not a fan of the exterior myself either, but why on earth would I repeat what so many others have expressed already in more and less interesting a way? So instead, I wanted to focus on the interior, because the interior has some truly interesting aspects to it, which are completely lost amid the overall debate on that car's exterior appearance. And that is a shame. That is a shame in the sense that good work isn't appreciated. It is a shame in the sense that the car design debate is yet again remaining shallow and focusing on one very obvious aspect rather than taking numerous into account. And it's also a shame because the people who did the interior of iX did a very, very good job. And judging by what comes out of BMW studios these days, it's not easy doing a good job at BMW right now. Yet that's what they did. And that deserves recognition. But in this black and white world, that gets completely overlooked as it's hidden hidden beneath the shadow cast by iX's exterior. And once again, that's a shame.
You know, and for me, if I look into this kind of idea of, let's say, journalism overall, yeah? So, like, I take this idea, and I think what I always enjoyed about Design Field Trip is when you first started talking to me about this, was this idea of bringing a perspective in. And of course, it is always a perspective of the writer, because we need to be, I think, fully open about this. Is when you write something, you automatically have an opinion about something, you know. And even if people say, oh, I'm fully neutral, I like to try to take myself away from this, but there is a certain kind of emotional factor. There's of course taste, which is different to everybody else's. And I think when you mentioned to me in the beginning that, you know, design is also about culture, it's about, you know, everything that comes in, it's about tradition or even non-tradition, like, you know, what we interpret as a you know, you as a German, and obviously me as a German as well, might be different than from somebody who's, you know, from the UK or from the US or from China or from Japan, and all these kind of things. It's important to try to kind of bring this all together to give an overall feeling. Yeah, I mean, you mentioned Fabio Filippini, I think, as well, and, you know, is an Italian guy, used to work in France, is now living in Japan. I mean, this is the quintessential thing that that I think what makes it really interesting is to kind of bring these different perspectives in, and also to I think help the audience to really understand about it. It's not that, you know, whatever the manufacturer says is right. It's not what, you know, the journalist says is right. It's more about, are you capable of making, you know, making up your own mind and can argue about that. And I think this is where we always connected together with, because with Gestalten, we had a very similar kind of, you know, idea behind it, is it's to kind of get the people thinking and discussing about things, and that it's okay to not like something. And it is, of course, okay to like something and to, you know, almost have an argument about it if you want to. I mean, there's a lot of passion that goes into that as well, but this always, you know, pushes you further. And it, you know, brings your thinking process further, because you hear from other people as well. And I think this is also a certain kind of respect back to the industry, to be fair, to say like, okay, what are we doing, you know, and how can we reflect on ourselves? Because maybe and, you know, call me a little bit naive, because obviously that's the way how we always try to run Gestalten as well, was always to say just like, maybe this naivety on opening up, or hoping that people will open up their minds a little bit, will bring forward the industry as well and bring in new ideas, you know, or maybe a more confidence about what mobility design as a whole can be in the future.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And apologies if I'm now. Doing a bit of advertising here, but there is an article in the current issue of the Road Trip magazine, for which I write on a regular basis, on the Fiat Eco Basic, and that's very much a case in point of what you just explained. In that article, I'm not trying to convince anyone that the Eco Basic is a classical beauty like a, let's say, a Ferrari 250 GTO, because it obviously isn't. But the thought that went into its design and the way it works and how that function manifests itself in the design makes it to me very, very beautiful and very endearing. And I try and explain that in this article with the full awareness that people will still look at Eco Basic and think, okay, that thing looks quite odd, and that's okay. As I said, this is not about changing people's minds, but it's about providing them with enough information to form a learned opinion. And if that learned opinion is still basically about, well, it looks strange, I don't like it, then fair enough. But providing people with enough information and insight to come to a conclusion rather than just act on an emotional hunch, that is something I care very, very deeply about. And in Eco Basic's case, for example, Italy and Italian culture and the Italian approach towards design, which is something very, very dear to my heart, all come into play. And when I ponder that article, and of course with 2020 turning out to be this special year, I pitched to Michael Harvey, the editor of the Road Rat, that we should really do something on Italy and an homage to Italy and Italian cars and Italian design as well. And so for that reason, we have in this current issue not just my article on Eco Basic, but also an absolutely monumental essay by Stephen Bailey on Turin and how the genius loci of that place played such a crucial role in the excellence of Italian automotive design for at least three decades. So yet again, it's car design is complex. It's much more than, oh, this is beautiful, this isn't beautiful. And this complexity I try to explain and to depict in any of my pieces of work. And sometimes I succeed, sometimes I don't, but that is always my intention.
And I think you're going into the right direction with that project. And you know, I can literally just hope that from everything that you have started now, and like, you know, I've obviously read all the stuff, and you know, I was fortunate enough to be a little bit involved in this in the beginning with, you know, with the podcast and everything as well. But I think you're really on a good way, and I hope that the listeners of Gestalt and obviously will also read what's happening on DFT and also vice versa as well, because I think there's a very interesting crossover that can happen with that as well. And yeah, and you know, moving forward, I of course wish you all the best of luck with Design Field Trip, and I wanna jump something in a little bit of on a let's say not a different kind of direction, because it's still somehow connected to Design Field Trip from that perspective, but from the general kind of perspective of you as being a journalist, yeah. What would you like to change at the moment in terms of just how things are being communicated in general? Obviously, Design Field Trip will be a part of that, but if you just, you know, depict yourself as a reader in that kind of sense, what is it that where you say just like journalism in general, and especially for the car world, needs to change a little bit?
That's a question that has quite a few repercussions, so I don't think I can answer it easily. But again, like everywhere, there is not enough debate. There is a lot of opinionated shouting, also metaphorically speaking, and there isn't a lot of exchange between different camps, because all too often you have on the one side people who say, okay, the era of the automobile is over and we need to get cars out of the city streets and so on and so forth, with which I agree to a certain point, but not 100%. And then, of course, there is those who say, oh, I still want to use my V8 and I need some noise to go with my car and so on and so forth. Of course, there's some other camps in between, but these are the two loudest camps. So what we really need is a large desk with plenty of different voices on every side, and voices that don't just shout at each other, but voices that are also silent because they're listening to what the other side has to say. There needs to be a civilized tone in any conversation. It can be passionate too, but it always must be civilized, and that is very much absent right now in much debate concerning the automobile, and also the communications from the car makers plays a certain role in that as well, because again, there is issues such as greenwashing, but there is also the fact that they don't allow their guards to be let down at any point. There isn't supposed to be any an angle from which they could be attacked. So for that reason, any kind of press communication is designed in such a way that then needn't be any further questions asked and hence answered, because there is supposedly a danger that these might be uncomfortable questions, and that is not ideal. I mean, there is certain issues with the way the man presents himself in public, but I've got to give Herbert Diess some credit, because he at least on a certain level attempted to reach out and talk to non-car people. Mm-hmm. And that's a valid effort. And we need such efforts not just on the executive board level. We need these efforts everywhere. We need car people to talk to non-car people, because the automobile, and that's something that gets completely overlooked, the automobile is a very powerful creation in every sense of the word, and as we know, with great power comes great responsibility. And as a car designer, when you design an automobile, unlike the house an architect builds, that automobile is everywhere and it's found on the roads everywhere. So one needs to feel a certain sense of responsibility. And I've been laughed at on more than one occasion for claiming that designers should feel a sense of responsibility, but I firmly believe that they should. And my opinion hasn't changed in that regard.
No, and I think you're very much on point here. I mean, coming back to the general kind of industry context, but also also design field trip, of course, it's about showing this kind of connection to other things as well. You know, car design in particular is now much more than that. You touched upon the importance of interior. We're talking about, digital contents happening in the car. We're talking about connectivity. We're talking about, things that are going, much further than that. We're talking about architecture. We're talking about, interior design. We're talking about product design. We're talking about all these different kind of things that have an impact. City planning, for example, of course, as well. And I think if we continue just looking into the little bubble, that would mean that the bubble would destroy itself, because then you have people from the outside who think they can do it differently. And the question is then, not if they will succeed, but, how quickly they will succeed, because that's, we all understand that the car industry is a very big one, and, that it's a very slow moving tanker in the entire context of it. But as long as it moves, there's still potential, but, it needs to move constantly, and it needs to move into a coherent direction and together as a whole, because otherwise, once it falls apart, it's almost impossible to stop that in that sense. And I do think that designers have a very important role to play into that, because in the end, not everything is about technology anymore. It's about usability. It's about, making the product worth it to be used in that sense. And that's not just because of technology. Technology is a part of it, but there is always this emotional factor that, what you mentioned, the responsibilities, I agree 100%. The responsibility of the designer will become much more important in the future. It's not just about like the battery that might be in a car or whatever. It's, how do we understand what a vehicle is in the future?
Oh, absolutely. And this is also, apologies for coming back to this now, but this is also why I feel so passionate about EcoBasic, because that concept car, even though it's from 1999 and even though it's powered by a small diesel engine, that car encapsulates thoughts on efficiency in so infinitely more profound a manner than any of the EV concept cars of the past few years, with the exception perhaps of the Fiat 120. But the point I also wanted to make with this article is that, first of all, we need to think about how we can save the cheap family car, because with legislation going the way it does right now, it'll be rather difficult to provide people with efficient, safe, cheap means of personal transportation in the future. And secondly, the current efficiency idiom basically says that anything you can cram a lot of batteries into is efficient, which is, of course, a complete nonsense when we're talking about cars that weigh close to 3 tons and have huge wind resistance. So again, I think we're not being completely honest as far as this particular debate goes. And EcoBasic reminded me most certainly when the actual prototype was shown to me in Turin, what efficiency really is all about and ingenuity is all about, because ingenuity isn't about, well, let's put a lot of batteries in there. That is rather simple compared to with what was achieved with that concept. And I'm just, of course, I'm now elevating EcoBasic to a certain saintly status, which might be one step too far. But anyway, the thinking in that concept car is quite absent right now. And that is a problem. And that's a problem I wanted to address through, I hope, productive means rather than just pointing fingers.
Lovely. And we will obviously hear much more from you on Design Field Trip, and I'm pretty sure there's a lot more to say, so we don't want to spoil too much on this little podcast right now. But I really hope with this little conversation we got, you know, the readers and the listeners a little bit into also your mindset, you know, what you like to achieve with Design Field Trip as a whole, and, you know, what you would like to portray, and, you know, what you like to share in terms of your thinking process with the wider public. Because you know, I think A, it's needed, but it also needs the community around it. Yeah, it needs the discussion factor. It needs the people going into that with you together, and have these debates, because that's in the end what pushes everything forward. In my personal opinion. So, for that, I would like to thank you already. But before I let you go, you will of course get the three magical questions that that everybody gets in our lovely recordings. And obviously, in your kind of context, we're not making them, like, you know, too car-ish or, like, you know, a designer-ish. So we're giving you a bit more freedom, because I know you're coming more from the writer's perspective, and I know you have a very big affinity for movies, of course, as well. So hopefully our listeners will forgive us on that one for this. But let's start with question number one, and that would be, which creative project would you have absolutely loved to be part of?
That would have been working alongside or looking over the shoulder of Pierluigi Nervi, who's an Italian engineer, on whom I did quite a bit of writing over the past few weeks, also in the context of my musings on Italian design, who specialized in the most beautiful concrete structures, so roofs basically, and halls and the likes, two of which can be found in Turin, which are absolutely astonishingly beautiful to this day, even though they're abandoned, but they're still standing proud, which also suggests that the quality of the actual construction is quite high. And these were his, if you like, signature building. The Hall B of Torino Esposizioni was built right after the war in 1948, using very, very scant resources and only unlearned labor. But under these less than ideal conditions, Nervi created the most beautiful edifices you could imagine. And I'd have loved to be there and truly understand his thinking, both as an engineer and as a designer and as an aesthete, because these different professions or characteristics go hand in hand in Italy like they don't do anywhere else, and that I find completely fascinating.
Question number two: which creative personality, in that sense, we opened up a little bit further, has influenced you the most in your career?
That indeed would be two filmmakers, one of which is Stanley Kubrick, about whom I was obsessed when I was in my teenage years. And the other one would be Steven Soderbergh, who's another movie director. A very different kind of characters with different movie-making styles, but each one in their own right, absolutely fascinating, truly creative-driven individuals. Who had a profound effect on not just my enjoyment of movies, but also my way of thinking. And I must say, even though this sounds quite preposterous, but also how I see the world, in fact.
Last but certainly not least, and now we come to the car question. Yeah, so there's no way around that in that. In that context, if I give you a blank check, which car would you buy?
It would be a classic Jaguar XJ, which is a car I actually owned once upon a time and had to sell with a broken heart, because that's the car that started it all for me. And just showing how contradictory I myself am as well, having having discussed the Fiat Eco Basic above all other cars, it really was the Jaguar XJ that I fell in love with as a child, and that made me fall in love with car design and think about car design, and this instilled the urge in me to try and understand automotive design and what makes a car appealing. And whenever I see an XJ on the road, I just can't help but smile, because it's such a thing of beauty. And also in the context of what we discussed earlier about people demonizing the automobile and explaining that all it brings to the world is just pollution and inner city races and so on and so forth, I challenge anyone to take a look at an XJ and say, okay, this is not beautiful. Because it simply is. It makes the world not necessarily a better, but certainly a more beautiful place.
And that's in the end, if we have a little bit of that in the world, I think, you know, at least that makes a few more people smile. And if people smile, we've already made a better place, to be fair. So thank you very much, Christopher. I really, really appreciate it. And I hope, you know, apologize to all the listeners if you thought this was a little bit too, advertorial in that sense, or, you know, a little bit too advertising too much. But, it was a very big step for us as Gestalten to go into that kind of collaboration. And obviously, you know, we appreciate everybody who's involved in Gestalten, you know, appreciate the support also from Christopher to be part of Design Field Trip. And we thought it was absolutely worth it to take this episode and just to show it, you know, to the wider audience as well, because there's so much, not just passion, but also knowledge in there. And, you know, so much, just pure kind of interest in the industry that wants to be shared. And there's so many people involved in this already that want to push this forward, and they believe in it as well. And, so do we. So obviously we wish you all the best in this endeavor, and, you know, hopefully, you know, a very successful endeavor, of course, that is. And so everybody, to our listeners, look, if you want to support Christopher, go on design-fieldtrip.com. There's a small donation page on there on at the end of the first page. Click on it, support him with whatever you can. He truly deserves everything that goes into that. And yeah, so with that, thank you for listening, of course. As always, you will hear back from us in about a couple of weeks' time with the next episode of Gestalten. Christopher, thank you very much. And to our listeners, once again, thanks for listening, and you will hear back from us very soon. Take good care.